Before I tell you the title, I want to read something. I want you to go with me in Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. And aside from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, obviously coming to God, what I'm about to tell you is probably the greatest lesson I've had in my life and in my heart as a Christian. And it's helped me in so many ways. Receiving and getting this in my heart and in your heart is very, very important. Go to Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. And the way I came to this, a couple months ago, Pastor Dan was doing a men's breakfast, and he was speaking on this very topic and on this very verses, talking about how we're the reflection. Sort of Moses came down and his face was shining, but it's similar around those lines and how we're the reflection of God's glory. And it was just an amazing way to bring it out. But as we were reading this verse, something gripped my heart. Let me read it for you. Let's read together. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning. I want you to, let me get you to this place. Sorry. Where they're at right now is they've already left Egypt. Moses and the people have already left Egypt, and they're waiting for God's instruction at next to Mount Sinai as they're getting direction from God. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Verse 19, then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Verse 20, and Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Verse 21, so the people stood afar off once again, but Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. I title this just so that we can be on the same page, dying to hear. Dying to hear. And that is exactly when I remember when Pastor Dan shared that verse, and just that word just gripped my heart, dying to hear. And it's an expression that's commonly used in the U.S. It's not so much in Spanish, but I remember hearing that phrase for the first time. But dying to hear is like you so want to know the information that's either behind that door or behind where you're hearing or the cubicle next door. You're dying to hear whatever they're saying. But in order for you to hear what they're saying, you have to do certain things to be able to hear. Whether people get the famous, you know, cup upside down or sideways on the door, or crawl next to what's going on, or peek your head in. But we're doing motions in order to connect with whatever's happening on the other side of the conversation. So what are the positions in our lives for us to get to this point? Let's look at what's going on right here before I give you kind of what God has given me for us tonight. Number one is you need to understand, well, not number one, but on this verse, let's stay here next to it. It says, now all the people witnessed everything. They saw the thunderings and what's going on. So all the people are seeing the manifestation of the power of God in the mountain. There is a power to God move, and there's a move of God there. And the move of God is bringing some manifestation to the natural that are obvious, that are visible, that are right there in their faces, and they don't know what to do. So they said the people stood what? Far off. And many people tend to do that a lot of times with the presence of God. They stay far off. Just as tonight, you might enter into the presence of God, connected what's going on from the worship, from the standpoint of connecting to the presence of God. Or you might say, you know what, I want to stay far off because I don't understand the guitar thing and I don't connect with the words on screen. Yet the presence of God is in our midst. So verse 19, he goes on to say that Moses comes down and talks to them and says, then Moses says, the people said, you speak with us and we will hear, but let God speak with us lest we die. So they're saying, hey, Moses, you know what? We don't want to do that. We want you to talk to us. And we cannot grow in our Christian walk sort of by osmosis, allowing someone else to tell me what I need to do all the time. I know that's not a popular topic, but I just need to say it because it's written in the Word of God. Verse number 20, it says, and Moses said to the people, do not fear. So Moses is telling them certain things for them to grow, and said, in the presence of God, there's a wonderful thing. And I love the end of it, just the graphic, the visual. But Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Moses just had it. He didn't care. He was like, I don't care how dark and weird this looks. It is far more better in here into the darkness, into the unknown with God, than into the familiar with you guys. That's basically what Moses is saying. So let me establish some guidelines for us to understand how we hear from God. Common sense stuff, we already know. Something doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you have to know that it's probably not from God. If something doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's probably not from God. Common sense stuff, God speaks in many ways to us and to our hearts, and we must be open to those areas of how God communicates to us. And we have to know these things in our heart, because a lot of people say, well, God doesn't speak. And I wanted to give you this verse so that, just like Pastor Jim told us today, that the Word of God brings His power into your heart. John 8:47, I'll read it for you. You have to go there. Keep your finger on Exodus, because we'll go back there. John 8:47 says, He who is He who is of God hears God's words. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. You're not of God. So I'm establishing with you today that if you're here today and you are of God, God is saying, I'm speaking to you and you are able to hear what I'm saying. And you are able to hear what I'm saying. And I want you to keep your heart open to know that God has a word for you and has a way that He wants to communicate with you. I started saying that the greatest thing other than receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my Christian walk was the ability and the understanding to grow in my capacity to hear from God. By far. There were great messages. There were great youth retreats and men's retreats. I mean, you name it, there was great things. But there's nothing far so more important to me than my capacity to get that. Every time I hear direction from God, it changes my life. Every time I hear a word from God that directs me to what I should do and should be doing in my walk, sets me to do what God wants me to do. And so for you and I, the capacity to hear from God has to increase in order for us to advance in what God wants for us, for each and one of us tonight. So to hear from God, that's the question I want to answer. To hear from God, there's many ways. God gave me three things for me that were very important. To hear from God, number one, we must die to self. Number one, we must die to self. We must die to self. It's very important because, see, the children of God, they were there, they were hearing, they were seeing the manifestation of the presence of God, but they weren't willing to die to self in order to hear from God. They say, listen, Moses, you talk to us, lest we die. See, they enter into self-preservation. They enter into a position where they wanted to keep themselves. They wanted to do something to protect and cover themselves, but not be vulnerable enough to open up, to let God speak to their life, to let God bring something into their life. And that's a very scary thing. We have to be open and vulnerable enough to allow God to bring something to our hearts that's going to challenge us. Look how it says this. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to hear from God, you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die. God gave me a phrase that so impacted me as I was preparing this message. This is how it goes. Let me see if I remember. It says, fear brings self-preservation, but faith brings reckless abandonment. Fear brings self-preservation, but faith brings reckless abandonment. There's something about fear that just, we want to protect everything we have. I heard a phrase that was pretty funny. I don't know if you get it, it'll be funny. If you don't get it, well, sorry, I won't explain it. But it was a phrase that's used here in the U.S. a lot of times. But even with money, with our finances, there's a phrase that said, get all you can all you get, sit on the can and spoil the rest. And so a lot of people kind of live their life in the finances that way. I mean, we're out there, we want to get it, we want to put it away. Whatever we have, we're doing everything except what God wants us to do. And fear will bring self-preservation. Fear will bring a capacity for us to protect us, protect our family, protect what we have. Instead of saying, God, I want to have faith. I want to have reckless abandonment. I want to have a desire to jump into the things that you want me to do without necessarily trying to figure out how I'm going to survive. God's going to figure out how you're going to survive. God will make a way for you to do that. And it's very important for us, and I mean, you're being challenged in every capacity to believe that God can do that, to believe that God is going to do that in your life. For all of us, we have to do that in order to grow in our level of what God wants for us. There's a man, there's an interesting story. It's a funny story, but there's a man on a cliff. He's walking around. His name's Jack. See if I can read the story here. His name is Jack, and he accidentally goes close to the edge and falls off. As he's falling off, he grabs a branch and is hanging onto the side of the cliff. So Jack realizes, my goodness, this is really, really bad. So he's hanging onto the side and starts yelling, help, help, help. Hours go by. Nobody shows up. So he realizes, well, I'm not going to last here forever, so I don't know. I might just die. So he keeps going, and someone try one more time, help, help. All of a sudden, he hears a voice, Jack, Jack, can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. And says, I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you? Where are you? Oh, I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere. The Lord? I mean, you mean God? Yeah, God. So, God, please help me. I promise you that I'll stop sinning, that I'll go to church, that I'll be a really good person, that I'll serve you the rest of my life if you get me out of this. And the Lord says, easy on the promises, Jack. First, let's get you down. Then we talk about what you're going to do. Okay. So he says, okay, tell me anything, Lord, and I'll do it. And the Lord says, okay, Jack, let go of the branch. What? Let go of the branch, I said, Jack. So there's a long silence. Then Jack yells, help, anyone else out there? Anyone else? Thought it was a cute story, but many of us are that way. Many of us look at God, look at what he's doing, and say, you know what? Is there anything else other than what God is telling me to do for me to actually accomplish what he wants me to do? There's nothing else. There's no shortcuts. There's no going around something else. As a matter of fact, the children of Israel went around the same thing because they wanted a shortcut to what God wanted for them. So for all of us, if you want to avoid having to be on the same spot for the rest of your Christian walk, then you must die to self in order to get what God has for you. I challenge you today to do that. There's a man in the Word of God. His name is the Apostle Paul. We all talk about him. The man wrote most of the New Testament. He did amazing things for God. But as I was reading one time, sort of his conversion to teach a little bit on it in the Spanish service, I was so interested by how the conversion comes out. Now, the Apostle Paul becomes a Christian, has an encounter with God. Somebody prays for him. He receives his vision. I mean, he's fired up. I mean, he was fired up before he was a Christian. Now he's fired up with the truth of God. So he's there, he's preaching, he's ready to preach, and the Lord tells him, listen, they're not going to hear your message, man. You just became a Christian 2 days ago, and you were killing them just a week before, so relax, you know? So God is to tell him, I'm going to tell you something to do, and I want to read from you in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16 from the Message Bible. I love the way it says it. Acts 9, 15 and 16, but the Message Bible says the following. But the master said, God told him, don't argue, go. I have picked him as my personal representative to the non-Jews, as it's the Gentiles, as your word, and kings and Jews. So the Word of God is saying, I picked him to be an apostle. I picked him to be a preacher to very important people, to people outside of this region. But then it tells him something. And now I'm about to show him what he's in for, the harsh suffering that goes with this job. Now, God just put it out there for him. God just said, listen, I want you to know that what you're going to do is great, but what comes with that job is also very difficult. So Paul needed to make a decision and said, I'm going to die to self in order to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish for his kingdom. Now, most of us want the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We want people to know our name. We want people to see us preach. But God also did a you'll be famous / beat up. You understand what I'm saying? And so for many of us, dying to self includes, I'll do something great for God, but it may cost me something also. I'd rather die to self than be far off and spend 40 years on the same spot. And so for many of us, we have to make that decision. The children of Israel had to make that decision. They needed to change the way they were going about it. Point number two. To hear from God, we must not be afraid. To hear from God, we must not be afraid. Fear is just, like I shared, is just one of those things that will keep you separated from God, will keep you separated from what God wants to do for you. Fear is the one thing that would put you aside, that will separate you, that will put you in a category that will freeze you, that will do things to your life that will not advance the cause of God in your life. And I'm telling you, you have to put fear aside. I'm not saying you're not going to feel it. I'm saying you're going to have to fight it. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying you're not going to feel it. We all feel it. We all, you know, when we make the step to do things for God, we all feel it. But we all push aside because we understand that the faith of God, that what's in us is greater than what's out there. And we have to know that and believe that and push through in order to get the things that God wants for us and has for us already set aside for you and me. And very, very crucial. Exodus chapter 20, we're right there. I hope you marked it. Verse 20 says, "And Moses said to the people," very first line says, "Do not fear." Say it with me. Do not fear. For God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. That's a great verse. Moses says, the reason what God has done all this, the flashing, the thundering, what you're hearing, it is not to scare you. It is not to tell you, look how big and bad and powerful I am. It is to tell you that the fear of his greatness may be in you so that you walk in his ways. So that you walk in his ways. That is the whole reason behind this process. That is the whole reason behind understanding the things of God in our lives. But we must be dying to hear what God has for us. For each one of us. I want to challenge you tonight to open your heart and open your ear and say, God, what is the word that's going to send me into the direction that you want for me? You need to know that you cannot fear. You cannot fear. You cannot fear. You cannot be afraid. And I'll keep repeating it because God's speaking to somebody today. You cannot be afraid. Because the moment fear sets in, you're going to start protecting yourself and finding what to do in order to not do what God has asked you to do. And that's very important to walk away from all that. Proverbs chapter 8 says the following. I love this. Proverbs chapter 8, 32 to 34. Go with me there. You guys are awful quiet today. Am I scaring you? Okay. You're not supposed to fear, but that's okay. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 to 34. Yeah. It says the following. Now therefore, listen to me, children, or my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. So remember, Pastor Jim defined for us blessing, or we define here the power of God to succeed. The power of God to succeed. So you and I are always wanting to obtain something better than what we have, but we want to do according to the way God wants us to do it. Are you with me? So he's saying, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying, O children, for blessed are those who keep my way. So those who do the things that God wants them to do according to the way he wants them to do it, they'll have the power to succeed. Verse 33 says, hear instruction and be wise. And do not disdain it. And that is very, very important. Hear instruction. Hear the instruction and be wise. So there's an application of what we hear in order to do or obtain what God wants us to do. So don't disdain it. Don't just hear it, but actually do it. Are you with me? We all know the verse. Don't be hearer of the word only, but be also doer. So you don't deceive yourself. So you don't say, I go to church. I know 50 verses. Actually, Pastor Dan talked about that point last week. Exactly. That people know the word of God, hear the verses, but do not apply what they're hearing. And so God is actually telling us right here, you have to jump into that process in order to do what I'm asking you to do. Hear the instructions and be wise and do not disdain it. Oh, I know how to do that. Don't do that. I can do it this way. Verse 34 is what I like. Blessed is the man who listens to me. If you listen, you'll have the power of God to succeed in your life. Blessed is the man who listens to me. And then keeps going and saying, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. I love this. In the times of the Bible, so you know, it's not like right now I can drive from one city to the next city and you can't even tell the difference. Back in those days, everything was fortified, there was walls around it, and there was two big old doors or doors around the four corners of the city, maybe, or main door. But that door was where everything happened, the commercial exchange. Everything went in and out of the city. Once they shut the door, nothing went in, nothing came out. So the doors are very important. God is saying, I want you to understand that in my city, my temple, in my church, I want you to be there watching and hearing at my post, my direction, what I'm saying and what I'm doing. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that at the Lakers game. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it at the buddies. It is not happening, or it ain't happening, however you want to say it. You're going to get it at my post, watching at my door, hearing what I have to say in the house of God. Very important, very crucial that we do that, that we see what God is doing so that fear may be stripped out of our hearts. The more I hear from God, the less fear I get. I don't know if you're that way. I am that way. The more I hear God telling me something, it washes away my fear. It takes away the things that can paralyze and make the vision of God small in our hearts. We have to allow the Word of God to bring and give us faith and give us restoration and give us a process to do something that we've never done. Very important that we do not fear, that we see the hand of God upon our life. My wife and I, a while back, God asked us, we were just starting to work. We've had our first son, right? Ethan was about 3 months old, so she wasn't working. I was working. I was fairly new at this job. And I remember the Lord clearly speaking to me to give above and beyond what we were giving at the time. And it was just, my wife is faith, is Holy Spirit number two. You know, she's always telling me, hey, you can do this, you can do that. I get the calculator out, and if it doesn't add up, we're praying till it adds up somehow, you know? So I've had to change my position on that end. I've had to change my way of approaching things and letting God wash away the fear. So we started doing it, and I said, I don't know how we're going to do this. I mean, I have no idea what's going on. So she said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's believe God. And ever since then, I mean, it was unbelievable. We started doing that. I got promoted. I got a crazy, like a $4 raise within a week. Not a $1, a $4, bam. And it was just, things just started happening. And I'm not telling you this so you put your money in. You have to work that out with God. God is already telling you to trust Him, okay? It's very important. So don't close your heart. This is not just about money. In my case, it was that. In my case, it was that. So we have to do that and start believing God that things are going to happen when God is asking you to do it. The Word of God says that if you've already said it in your heart, then you do it the way God's asked you to do it. My challenge for you tonight is that you do that. Put fear out of your heart. Put fear in everything, in every capacity, in the things that you do with your kids and with your wife. Whatever is going on in your family, that you put that aside. Put fear aside, believing God's going to do something amazing. Something very important. I'll tell you a story that... It's okay. That's been gripping our hearts. Our boy Ethan, our oldest, he's in second grade. And so there's a couple kids that are just bullying him around. He's got a very tender spirit. So we've been praying, Lord, you know, you're going to protect him, you're going to love him. And two Sundays in a row now, sorry, it's my kids, so it just happens. We get tender with our kids. Two Sundays in a row, I came to pick him up. Last Sunday she did, and then this Sunday I did. And the teacher told us, I want you to know that Ethan is amazing. I said, oh yeah, why is that? He said, when the worship is on, he closes his eyes and he's got his hands raised and he doesn't care about anybody around him and he's just worshiping God. And I was so happy for that because I know that God is protecting his heart. He may be going through a hard thing in school, getting bullied, and that's a terrible thing for any kid to go through, but I know that God is his heart and I cannot act in fear by allowing him and doing all kinds of other things. Oh, let me pull him out of school. Let me do this. Let me do that. But knowing that God has put us in that place for a reason and for a time, you cannot make decisions based on fear, but on faith that God is doing something. And honestly, that just goes to the praise of our children's ministry team. I mean, these guys are so amazing investing in our kids and in your kids and doing and developing them. So I'm so grateful that I am here and we have such an amazing team. Point number three, to hear from God. Point number three, to hear from God, we must practice solitude, which means quiet alone time with God. Quiet alone time with God. It's very important. Solitude is important. Now, God can speak to you anyway, on the road, anywhere you're at, okay? So I'm not making a case for God won't speak to you. I'm making a case that we get direction in solitude. We get direction when we're in that space where nothing is bothering us and we're hearing. I have a funny story. It doesn't necessarily go with the point, but it's kind of funny. Some of you guys know that I grew up in Latin America. Now, my mother, and when we grew up in an apartment complex right in the middle of kind of the government building offices, so close to the Congress and all these areas, really busy with cars. So all my life, I grew up with noise. All my life. I remember taking my wife the first time. She went by herself, and then we went with our kids, and she said, "How did you do it?" I said, "I didn't even know it was this loud. I just kind of grew up in it. I mean, the cars, the horns, everything, and so it's just the craziness of the city." So I moved to the States, finally, for the first time. I come to the States. It was so quiet here. It was like it was so hard, and you know, being so quiet was just uncomfortable, you know? So I used to sleep with headphones on because I just could not sleep because it was so quiet. I remember one day I was with her brother, I think, and we were sitting down, and my stomach growled. And for the first time in my life, I actually heard my stomach growl. I mean, I knew it growled, but I had never heard it growl. For many of us, it's the same way, that we need to be in a moment of solitude and quietness in order to hear things that we've heard before. I knew my stomach growled because I was hungry, but I had never heard it because I was never alone. Never alone. And for all of us, God is saying, you may heard what I'm telling you to do, but you won't know what you've heard before unless in a time of solitude, you're paying attention to the direction of God. Are you with me? Very important that we see it that way. Look what Moses does. I love this thing. Verse 21 says, so the people stood afar. Don't do that. So the people stood afar, loved it. But Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. I just sat there when I read that verse. I mean, I got goosebumps. I just sat there imagining this. Imagine a big old cloud of darkness. I mean, just something hideous to the human eye that says, I shouldn't go in there. And he's saying, but I know what's in there so good, I'm going to go back in there. I'm going to go back in that darkness, in that place where I'm going to hear my own self. A lot of times people don't want to hear themselves because they don't want to know what's in them. And we cannot fear. We have to go to God with that desire. We have to put aside everything. And moments of solitude is very important. They don't have to be long, but they have to be moments of solitude. Very, very important. Very important. Somebody said that the biggest deterrent in the city of New York City to reaching people is their headphones. Because people get in their trains, put their headphones on. People walk around, have headphones on. There's never a time where people are just paying attention to each other. There's never a time where people are actually connecting with God. So I'm challenging you in that way, that you walk into that area. Samuel was a great example of that. I'm going to end with this. Samuel was an amazing man of God. Samuel was dedicated to the service of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, go there with me. 1 Samuel chapter 3, to the service of God. And as a young boy, he was there serving. And as he's serving, chapter 3, verse 1, it starts with something so amazing. Because this is so powerful for you and I to know. Because, see, we don't have this, but he did. Yes, he made an effort. 1 Samuel chapter 3 says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Eli was the current prophet at the time. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Let me define that verse for you. Basically saying, and Eli was working in the temple, helping out the prophet who's supposed to be the communicator or the voice of God at the time. But because he wasn't manning his post, God wasn't speaking to anybody. Because Eli wasn't taking the time to do it. Are you with me? And then it says there was no widespread revelation, means there was no understanding of what God wanted to tell them. That's a scary thing. It's a scary thing that you or I will ever be in a position where there is no revelation in our lives for the things of God. Don't ever go in there. You need that. You need the spread, the revelation of God in your heart to do the things that God wants you to do. Then jump to verse number 9 as we go there in a minute. Samuel's there serving. And so for the first time, Samuel's about to hear the voice of God talk to him. And that's an amazing thing, because then God begins a beautiful relationship with this young man that eventually becomes the greatest prophet in the land at the time. Just amazing. Verse number 9 says, therefore Eli, Samuel, what's going on there, let me set you up, sorry, running it in. What's setting up there is that Samuel is hearing somebody call him, Samuel. So he gets up, runs to Eli and says, yeah, sir, what can I do for you? Eli said, I didn't call you. I mean, I was in the middle of my nap. Just don't worry about it. Just go back, you know. So Samuel goes back. Again, Samuel. He gets up, runs to Eli, says, "You call me? You need something? I didn't call you." A third time it happened, since then Eli realized that the boy was hearing from God. And tells him, "Next time you hear the word of God, do something for me." And this is what happened, verse number 9. "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, quietness, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." So Samuel went and was in his room, was in the quiet place where God was going to speak to him. "Now the Lord came and stood and called, as other times he did, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" I hope that is the same answer that you would give God today as he speaks to you. God is saying to you, "I'm speaking. And if you're son or daughter of God, I'm speaking to you." The answer is, are we going to say, "Lord, I'm your servant. You tell me what I need to hear and it'll be done." And it's so important for us to see that. That we open our hearts to the direction of God, to whatever God may have for us, to direct us in that way. You want me to tell you the truth? Many people don't go to God wanting to hear from God because they don't want to hear what God has to tell them. I know you've done it because I've done it. I know there's something I'm struggling. I'm like, man, if I ask God, he's going to tell me that, you know, I need to, you know, give my last $20. That's just awful. I don't want to do that. There's a process in our hearts when we're stuck in our own self. Oh, I don't want to go to God because he's going to ask me to say I'm sorry to my wife when she's the one that did the wrong thing. See, we want God's direction, but we really don't want to hear what God has to say. And I'm asking you today that you develop a keen sense of hearing from God. And to do that, we got to do three things that we heard today. Number one, you have got to die to self. You have got to put aside whatever your agenda is in order to hear from what God has to say. Number two, we must not be afraid. Don't go into God afraid. Don't go into God saying, "Lord, I'm afraid of what you're going to tell me," because what God's going to tell you is, "I have great plans for you. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you." That's what God has for you. And that's what he wants to do and tell you in any capacity, in any way. And number three, what God really wants and for us to do to hear, we must practice solitude. You must do from time to time, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is as it grows, and spend time with God and allow him to tell you the things that you need in your life. I'm telling you, we're in a season in our life where we're raising little kids, where there's very little time of solitude. Very little time of solitude. I mean, between midnight and 6 a.m. So we either talk to God around that time or it's really hard to talk to God any other time, you know? And so for us, it's a different stage. And parents who've done that understand that. Pastor always tells us that was her praying time, 2 a.m. in the morning, because the kids were there, they were asleep or whatever it may be. And so for us, that time of solitude is when we get direction for what God wants us to do in our life. Very important. Three things I want you to remember. Put away your agenda. Don't be afraid what God's going to tell you. Get alone and get hearing from God. If God spoke to you, give him a hand. Thank you, Lord.